Welcome to Cash, Carbon, and Common Sense, the podcast where money meets environment. I'm your host, Will, and today we're diving into the world of gasoline taxes. We'll tackle three big questions. Number one, why do European countries put such high taxes on gasoline, and what are the advantages of that? Number two, we'll take a look at what would happen if the United States tried the same thing, and why might that be a problem? And number three, we will finish it off with what alternatives exist to gasoline tax when it comes to cutting emissions, and finally, which ones work the best. So buckle up and let's get rolling. The Cash, Carbon, and Common Sense podcast starts right now. Let's get started with the first section, why Europe taxes gasoline so heavy. So in Europe, gas prices are much higher than in the United States. And that's not because fuel is more expensive to produce. It's because of taxes. I was recently in Italy and Switzerland back in May of this past year. And speaking from personal experience, we get over there and I see that, you know, they're charging how much they were per gallon. I don't remember exactly what they were charging. I want to say it was around like $6-7. And I make the remark or the comment and I go, dang, like that's high for gas. And the professor goes, you do know that they pay by the liter over here, not by the gallon like we do. And so it was even higher than what I expected. And so these taxes are coming from the government. And I want to talk a little bit more about why we're seeing these taxes, especially in Europe. We see some here in the States, but they're not as heavily. And there's been talks about that, and we'll get onto that later in today's podcast. But starting their government deliberately keeps gasoline expensive. And what's the why? Well, let's start with A. A is going to be your efficiency. So with efficiency, you've got those higher prices. They encourage people to drive less. They carpool more and they take public transit. Not just that, but you're also B, you're seeing smaller cars over there. Over here, we've got, you know, the big 18-wheelers, we've got the big trucks, we've got the Ford F-150s, we've got the SUVs, the Tahoes, the Suburbans, all that stuff. And when you go over to Europe, it's very interesting to see that no one drives that kind of stuff. They all drive small, like Mini Cooper, Mini cars. And over here, you know, I always fear, hey, I don't want to ride in a small car because I'm afraid if I get in a wreck with a big truck, you know, something's going to happen. Over there, they don't have that fear. They don't worry about that as much because most everyone over there is already driving small cars. And I think that's important to note. Now, that C as to why they tax gasoline so heavy would be that public revenue. So their gas tax over there is able to fund their healthcare, their roads, and their environmental programs. And so especially here in the state of South Carolina, where our gas prices are as good as they are, we have a lot of complaints about how our roads are and upkeeping of roads. And unfortunately, in order to maintain the roads and upkeep the roads, sometimes you have to increase taxes and you have to increase fees in areas that people may not like. And I think South Carolina made the decision that, hey, we're not going to have the world's best roads, but we're going to keep our gas prices lower than most states do. We're going to keep it below that average or near that average versus California. I've never been to California, don't know the conditions of their road, but I'm sure they're a lot better given what their gas prices are. That also being said, for countries over in Europe, they have that healthcare system. So they actually don't pay for healthcare over there. All that stuff that when they go to the doctor, it's free for us. And that's for most European countries. I won't say this for all of them. That's for most. For us over here, that's not included. So I think it's kind of a, a two-way street. It's kind of a return, you know, that they're giving up money in the long run for gas, or in the short run for gas, so that their healthcare in the long run can be cheaper, or they don't have a healthcare bill when it comes down to it. And I'm not saying that raising the gas cost by $5 is going to be the difference and the reason that, you know, we have cheaper healthcare, or that our roads are going to be better, or that our environmental programs are going to be better. But I definitely think that those are a big advantage and those are a big help there. Lastly, I want to talk about climate goals. So for Europe, they are serious about cutting greenhouse gas emissions. So higher gas prices, it's pushing, like I said before, people towards trains, biking, and eventually electric cars and the smaller cars as well. And that is going to help reduce these greenhouse gas emissions. Now, I don't want to say that Europe is perfect in what they are doing, because let's be honest, we've had some stuff recently where we backed out of basically things like the Paris Climate Agreement because we felt that we were pulling more weight than other countries, especially over in Europe. That being said, it is a team effort. And so if just the United States raises the gas tax price, or just Europe raises the gas tax price, and then more people start walking and we expect to change, it'll affect some, but it's not going to affect enough. So it's until every country starts something, then we're not going to see that. Coming up, we're going to talk, why not in the U.S.? Why is there not a high gas tax in the U.S.? What are the pros? What are the cons behind that? We'll get to that when the Carbon Cash and Common Sense podcast continues after this. Fun fact, the U.S. federal gas tax has been stuck at 18.4 cents per gallon since 1993. If it had kept up with inflation, it would have been more than 40 cents today. All right, welcome back to the Cash, Carbon, and Common Sense podcast. Now let's take a look at why raising gas taxes here in the U.S. isn't as simple as it sounds. Now, imagine if tomorrow the U.S. government doubled or tripled the federal gas tax. What would happen? That's a big question that a lot of Americans are curious about. You know, why don't we just raise the gas tax? And it's the same thing as to, you know, why don't we just increase or decrease inflation, or, you know, other taxes in other areas? And so let's talk about it specifically when it comes to the gas tax. The truth is, America isn't Europe. We're built different, and that's just how things are. We have longer distance commutes, or longer distance in general. Our commutes are made up of 20, 30, even 50 miles or more. Those are common commutes for people to get to work, to school, to the gym, to restaurants, wherever they may be going, to the big city. Not all of us live in big cities. And so that's definitely one of the main reasons. That second reason is going to be weak public transit. And so for most U.S. cities, they don't always have subways or high-speed rails like Europe. So I just spent time in Europe, and we rode the train multiple times while we were over there. They have several bus systems and bus lines that go to almost every part of the city, but especially when it comes to the not just the bus line, but when it comes to the rail trains, they have them going from all the big cities connecting. Around here, we especially do not have the high-speed rail trains. It would still take you about an hour at least on a train to get from Charlotte to Raleigh. And over there, that's something that a high-speed rail train could get you there in 30 minutes. And so not having those resources definitely makes it harder to not drive a car. And then over here, we also have bigger vehicles. We've got, like I said, trucks, SUVs, Ford F-150s, Suburbans, Tahoes, you know, big vehicles that they dominate our U.S. roads. And those use a lot of gas, and they input off a lot of those greenhouse gases that the vehicles are putting out. And so I say to that, raising the gas tax here would land hard, especially on low-income and rural households who spend a large share of their income on fuel. It could also push up transportation and shipping costs. You know, just think about all the 18-wheelers that, you know, whether they're the logging trucks or whether they're your Amazon trucks, or your Target trucks, that are taking important supplies where they need to go. And, you know, it's going to increase the cost of their gas, and we're going to see a change there. It also, you know, if we see that increase in gas, we would see an increase in the cost of price of groceries and other household goods, in a sense that we already complain right now of how high inflation is and how high the cost of things are. And that would only raise it more, I feel like. And politically, raising a gas tax is one of the fastest ways to make voters angry. That is the real problem here. No one from either side wants to do it because they know that the moment they do, people are going to be back. It's something that has been discussed, and I'm not saying that it's not something that we don't need to consider, don't need to do. But what I will say is it definitely is an issue and will not be happening anytime soon with our current political standpoint. And that's why the U.S. federal gas tax has barely budged more in 30 years. Let's get into a fun fact break, and we will be right back with more of the carbon, cash, and common sense podcast when we return. Here's another fun fact. Transportation makes up about 28% of total U.S. greenhouse gas emissions, the single largest share of any sector. That's why fuel policies get so much attention here in the States. And we're back. Welcome back to the Cash, Carbon, and Common Sense podcast. My name's Will once again. So if a big gas tax doesn't fit the U.S., what other tools do we have to cut emissions? Let's break down some of those alternatives right now. Welcome to Section 3, Alternatives to Gas Tax. So if a high gas tax does not fit the U.S., you know, what are our alternatives? Well, let's turn to what economists have suggested. Here's a few options they've suggested. Starting with a carbon tax, instead of targeting just gasoline, a carbon tax price all fossil fuels, all fossil fuel emissions efficient, but it is politically tough. Again, adding any sort of tax or additional charge or fee or anything like that is going to be tough when it comes to politics, because it is the number one way to make Americans unhappy and to vote against you in today's society. Next up, there's the cap and trade method. The government sets a cap on emissions, companies trade permits under that cap. It worked well to reduce acid rain in the 1990s. Although we are sitting in the 2020s, it would definitely be something that could be considered. It'd be interesting to see how that would work. Next up, fuel economy standards like CAFE standards, which push automakers to build more efficient cars, even giving stipends or stuff like that for electric vehicles and supporting more companies that are going the EV route and are helping with the electric vehicles. And then the last two, subsidies and incentives, which I was just talking about, tax credit for electric cars, charging stations, and renewable energy, public investment, better public transportation, transit, and more walkable cities. So driving isn't the only option, because right now we live in a country where, unfortunately, if you don't drive, you got to have a bike, a scooter, something, and not everyone can afford that. Not everyone has that. Not everyone wants that, because some people have 30-minute drives, and riding a scooter for 30 minutes is just impractical. Which one works best? Many economists argue a carbon tax plus investments and clean energy would have the biggest impact. But in reality, the U.S. often uses a mix of all of these tools instead of one single fix. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out here in the future. That being said, let's wrap things up with our conclusion. What did we learn today? Well, in Europe, high gasoline taxes cut driving, they shrink their emissions, and fund public services. In the U.S., the same approach would be painful because our geography, culture, and car dependence. And while gas tax can help border tools like carbon tax, cap and trade, and clean energy initiatives may be more efficient long term. That's the heart of environmental economics, weighing costs and benefits for our wallets and our planet. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cash, Carbon, and Common Sense. I'm your host, Will. Join me next time as we break down another issue where the economy and the environment collide. Until then, drive smart and think green.
Common sense, where money meets the environment. We're breaking it down, making it clear. Economics for your ear.